'cause tonight is the night for feeling alright. We'll be making love the whole night through. So I'm saving all my love. Yes, I'm saving all my love. Yes, I'm saving all my love for you. No other woman is gone.
From the Beltway to around the world, news, talk, and conversation, 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141 presents The Daily Drum with Harold Fisher.
Just one shot, the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine is one step closer to final approval.
We know many of you are extremely frustrated with the online process to register for a vaccine. We understand the stress this has caused, and we're working closely with our technology partner at Microsoft to continually monitor the process and make improvements.
Another day of tech trouble snagging DC's vaccine website. And tonight on Insight, climate change, environmental equity, and the Black community, why you need to pay attention now more than ever. Good evening. This is the Daily Drum for Friday, February 26th. Here's what's happening. Johnson & Johnson's one-shot COVID vaccine could be approved for use as soon as this weekend. An outside panel of experts has unanimously recommended the FDA approve it for emergency use. If approved, the J&J vaccine would be the third vaccine approved to protect Americans from the coronavirus. And the House is expected to easily approve President Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package tonight. The Senate is where the reception won't be as warm with Republicans. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell opposes much of it. Raising the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour is not expected to survive. The package also has billions of dollars targeted at local governments, schools, and coronavirus vaccines. Some D.C. residents are not happy with online COVID vaccine registration processes. D.C.'s chief technology officer, Lindsay Parker, acknowledged that for the second day in a row, the system has failed for tens of thousands of residents trying to sign up.
This morning, we had more than 36,000 people visiting our appointment portal at the same time to try to get one of 4,300 appointments. And all of those appointments were booked in under 30 minutes.
The D.C. Health Department says the city needs more vaccine to deal with the crush of people wanting the shots. Maryland's governor, Larry Hogan, was on the Eastern Shore today as students prepare to head back to class in the region. Like D.C., the governor says he's also focused on getting more vaccine to those who want it.
It's all about vaccine distribution. We're going to be focused on the increased supply and how we're handling it and how we decide where we can get vaccines out with both the J&J and the new guidance on Pfizer. So I don't have details on it yet, but I think it's going to be exciting and help us get more things done.
Hogan has also issued an in-class mask executive order for students when they return to school. And speaking of returning to school, Prince George's County school families have until Sunday to finish a survey about how to return to the classroom in April. The survey issued from the county school system last week after CEO Dr. Monica Goldson previewed the options. Well, the week ends with an uptick in infections in our area, 2,282 overall, with 262 deaths. Virginia still counting a backlog of fatalities from the holiday surge, with 225 of those deaths. Well, coming up, Hidden Figure No More. NASA bestows a huge honor on an African-American hero. That story after the break.
Hi, I'm Jay Schutte, an American farmer, giving back to agricultural leadership of tomorrow with $2,500 I won through the America's Farmers Grow Communities Program, sponsored by the Monsanto Fund. I really benefited from agricultural leadership of tomorrow as a young professional. I encourage farmers to support their favorite nonprofit through the Grow Communities Program.
Welcome back to the
Enroll
day.
Now, visit www.growcommunities.com or call 877-267-3332.
Hey, Russell Wilson here, and I know how important exercise is.
It's essential, it's essential.
With Play 60, United Way, and the NFL are helping kids stay active and play at least 60 minutes a day.
Healthy kids, healthy kids.
But what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org/play60, because great things happen when we live united.
Donate, donate.
Are you guys going to do that every time?
Yes, of course.
Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Innovative treatments and cures can help solve our biggest healthcare cost challenges. Hi, I'm Diane Alexander, Executive Director of Women in Government. The U.S. is projected to spend $13.5 trillion on hospital care over the next decade. It's more important than ever that new medicines be developed that will keep patients healthy and out of the hospital. Our members support the 854,000 biopharmaceutical sector employees working in the U.S. to meet and beat our biggest health challenges. To learn more, visit from HopeToCures.org.
Did you know 22 Americans die each day waiting for organ transplants, most of them for kidneys? The good news is that MatchingDonors.com is helping to change that. MatchingDonors.com is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that links organ donors with people in desperate need of kidneys and other transplants. And now you don't need to donate a kidney to save a life. You can donate your boat, car, or real estate, with 100% of the proceeds going to help save the lives of people needing organ transplants. Visit MatchingDonors.com or call 800-385-0422.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. She was the first black woman engineer for NASA's space program. Today, the DC headquarters building was renamed after Mary Jackson. NASA Acting Administrator Steve Jurczyk says they must remember it's not enough only to honor the accomplishments and sacrifices of previous generations and heroes like Mary Jackson.
We must aim for the future, laying the foundation for a diverse workforce and strengthening our culture of inclusion and equity.
Jackson overcame the barriers of segregation and gender bias to be an engineer at NASA back in 1958. She worked there for more than 30 years. Her granddaughter was on hand for today's ceremony.
There are a lot of individuals who went into the engineer department, who went into the mathematics department because of what she knew, because of what she taught, because of what she encouraged.
Jackson died in 2005. She was portrayed in the acclaimed 2016 film Hidden Figures. Let's take a look at our weekend weather now. Tonight, expect showers through the late evening hours, lows in the lower 40s. Tomorrow, more rain in the morning, heavy at times, ending by midday. Highs in the 50s to around 60. More rain on Sunday morning, moderate to heavy, ending later in the day. Highs around 60 degrees. Well, coming up, changing how you look at climate change and environmental justice for our community. We're talking about it. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Insight is next.
Hi, I'm Jay Schutte, an American farmer, giving back to agricultural leadership of tomorrow with $2,500 I won through the America's Farmers Grow Communities Program, sponsored by the Monsanto Fund. I really benefited from agricultural leadership of tomorrow as a young professional. I encourage farmers to support their favorite nonprofit through the Grow Communities Program. Enroll now, visit www.growcommunities.com or call 877-267-3332.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one? saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all. The gift of life. MatchingDonors.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nia Hurd-Garris with today's tip for kids from the American Academy of Pediatrics. Babies younger than 6 months don't sleep for very long at a time, which means their parents don't either. But with practice, babies can get into a safe sleep routine. Remember, the safest place for your baby to sleep for every nap and every sleep is on their back in a bassinet, crib, or play yard. Knowing your baby is safe should help you sleep more soundly. For more on safe sleep, talk with your pediatrician or visit healthychildren.org.
Hey, HR Voices family, it's Jeff Fortson, who's the host of Auto Trends with JeffCars.com, the only multicultural automotive show airing on Sirius XM, where we connect you with today's pioneers, trendsetters, and influencers in the auto industry. You can find us here on channel 141, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Lock us in and don't forget to tune in. Each week, we'll continue to give you the latest news to help navigate the car buying process, as well as access the inspiring stories of many of today's hidden figures who've had a direct hand in creating the cars we drive. That's Auto Trends with JeffCars.com.
Do you need expert advice from successful business leaders on how to start, grow, and finance your business? Tune in every Thursday to the Small Business Report on Sirius XM Channel 141 HUR Voices with your hosts Carl Brown and Sharon Morton. Carl and Sharon will talk to experts around the country, giving you the advice you need to start and grow a successful business. The Small Business Report, giving you the tools you need to succeed. Thursday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sirius XM Channel 141 HUR Voices.
COVID-19 is threatening our nation. But during this critical time, you can make a difference. Join the Department of Veterans Affairs and save lives. We need medical professionals at every level, including retirees, to help care for patients in facilities in every state and through telehealth. You can be brought on quickly, and this won't impact federal retirement for retirees. Will you join us? Visit va.gov/join us to learn more.
Hi, this is Dr. Willie Jolly, host of The Wealthy Way Show, here on Sirius XM Channel 141, and I want to invite you to join me every Saturday at 4 o'clock Eastern, where you'll hear the best and the brightest thought leaders tell you how to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and how to live your dream and make it happen now. I want you to join me on Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Sirius XM Channel 141. This is Dr. Willie Jolly, and remember, your best is yet to come.
Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues, 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. This month's severe weather in Texas has refocused our attention on the issue of climate change. Restoring power, believe it or not, is still an issue there. And so is getting the waterworks back to normal. But this is also reminding us about longstanding issues concerning environmental equity in communities of color. These issues are things that we need to pay attention to now more than ever before. But joining me to talk about this are Damali Harding, Business Development Director for Oracle Utilities, O-Power. She's also on the board of directors for the American Association of Blacks in Energy. Also joining us, Charmaine Brown, co-chair of the Maryland Commission on Climate Change. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisherWHUR or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Ladies, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you, Harold, for having me.
Absolutely. Damali, I want to start with you. Here we are 2 weeks since the issues in Texas. Why are we still dealing with that situation the way we are there? Why are they still having problems restoring power?
Yeah, that's a great question, Harold, and it really is an infrastructure question. You know, I think the last 2 weeks have had more people asking me, and I'm sure my other guests, more questions about, well, why is the power out? Why can't they get power? What does this mean for renewables? And quite frankly, you're talking about deep freezes, and, you know, it's similar to if a pipe burst in your house. You can't just fix that overnight. You have to think about, well, why did it burst? Do I need to replace the insulation? Do I need to, you know, fix everything that was flooded? So, you know, scale that up by millions of pipes and millions of dollars, quite frankly, you know, the question is, who's going to pay for that?
Well, and certainly that is an issue, but, you know, hindsight is 20/20, although I would argue that considering what we've seen in Texas, that it appeared to be the blind leading the blind. So could something like that happen here?
So the short answer is maybe. You know, if I think about the infrastructure for the Northeast, for the Mid-Atlantic, for the rest of the country, you know, we expect cold weather. We prepared for it. It's built for cold weather. And we've had enough, you know, kind of climate challenges, if you think about the hurricanes that have come through and even, quite frankly, the earthquakes that have really tested the resiliency of our grid. And grid operators are now looking at, instead of just building the grid out to, you know, just send the power, they're looking at it from a standpoint of what happens when those 100-year storms now happen every 5 to 7 years. What happens, you know, when we get winds that are hurricane-like, you know, several times a year? How do we prevent the power from going out when people need it the most? And so the short answer is maybe, but we are prepared for it, and we're looking at it from a standpoint of not just this region, but as we look at how are we connected to other states. Mm-hmm. You know, a colleague of mine brought up a really great point. If you remember in 2003, the blackout that happened in New York for something that happened in Cleveland, that actually hasn't happened since. And the reason why is because in 2003, you know, changes were made, policies were updated. You know, they went to say, okay, what can we do to make sure this never happens again? And quite frankly, that's the question that every utility, every state commission, every grid operator needs to be asking themselves. Mm.
Charmaine, one of the things that is particularly interesting is that when we started watching the weather forecasts in the days before Texas was hit, and this wasn't just Texas, let's be clear, Mississippi was also feeling a lot of this. And as a matter of fact, many of the plains and southern plains states were hit particularly hard, and it raised a lot of questions about climate change. And I would go so far as to say, if you didn't believe that it was an issue before, the fact that your house was below freezing for more than a week had to be enough to convince you.
Well, Harold, let's hope so. But I still think there might be some people who may never be convinced no matter what. But I do want to sort of just let you know where I'm coming from as it relates to climate change. So last year, the commission chair for the Maryland Commission on Climate, Ben Grumbles, who's also the secretary of the Maryland Department of Environment, appointed me as one of the co-chairs on the commission, and specifically to apply the equity lens to the work that the group will undertake. And so I'm really coming at this from a place that says, you know, how is climate change impacting under-resourced BIPOC communities, Black, Indigenous people of color? And so, you know, while we are watching what's happening with climate, while we see who's suffering or who suffers the most, because the impact, you know, climate change is not discriminating, but the impact on people, Black, Indigenous people of color, tends to be deeper. Under-resourced communities bear the brunt of all of this. And so the commission wanted to make sure for all of the work that Maryland is undertaking to address climate change, that we apply the equity lens to that work. So you know, to your point about, you know, if you didn't believe it before, maybe you'll believe it now. I hope so, because in order to solve it, I mean, Ms. Harding's point about infrastructure is a great point, but in order to solve the issue of climate change, everyone will have to do their part.
But how do you bring equity, as you said, focusing the equity lens? And I'm glad you kind of broke that down a bit, because I was thinking, you know, climate change, and more specifically, the weather isn't going to be racist, you know.
No, but
that's what I wanted to. So how do you do that?
But whether or not you have water after, uh-huh. whether or not you can, you know, I think you saw some folks in Texas got bills for $6,000. I mean, you know, for a lot of under-resourced communities, it's a pocketbook issue. Whether or not when that storm is hitting, you have mobility. You know, if you're a senior, are you able to get to safety? So you're right. The storms don't discriminate. But as long as we have systemic issues, as I said before, Black, Indigenous people of color will bear the brunt. Just think about some of these things. I just want to share a couple of points with you very quickly. African Americans, when we talk about racial equity and inequities, African Americans are 2 times more likely to experience infant death, 1.9 times more likely to die of diabetes, 1.5 times more likely to be below proficient in reading at fourth grade. I mean, if I go through this list of all of the disparities that are impacting particularly the African-American community, just apply climate to that. So if you're already at the bottom of the rung, just apply extreme weather to that. You know, just apply more toxins in your community. Just apply more pollutants to your community, right? It impacts every aspect of the quality of life. And so who gets hurt first, and how are you able to recover? Even things like how, you know, disaster relief funds are distributed, right? So Maryland is saying, by asking me to join them in this, you know, let's get the voices of the people who we don't ordinarily hear, those people whose lived experience can inform our decisions, those people who are closest to the problem. And that's what equity is about. Whether you're talking weather or health, that's what equity is ultimately about.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about climate change and environmental equity in communities of color, why you need to pay attention now more than ever before. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call again at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Damali, I want to drill down a little bit on these electric bills, because that is a shocking thing, you know, for anyone. Can you kind of give me a thumbnail sketch of why some people in Texas during the course of this crisis were receiving these astronomically high electric bills, going from $100 a month to literally thousands of dollars in 1 month? What is that about?
Yeah, so let's start with the idea of an understanding that Texas is a deregulated market.
And what does that mean for the folks in the back?
In Texas, people can choose whoever they want to supply their electricity. And 17 states in the U.S. actually have a deregulated market for electricity, but Texas is the most deregulated. So most of us only kind of see the utility company and probably aren't even aware that we are in deregulated markets. But in Texas, they can choose their generation provider. They can choose, that means they can choose solar, they can choose wind, they can choose natural gas. But they can also choose who decides to carry that electricity to their house. which is very different than the rest of the country. So in the rest of the country, if you're in New York, for example, you may have National Grid or Con Edison. If you're in D.C., you're familiar with either Baltimore Gas and Electric or Pepco. Those carry our electricity to our house. And so in Texas, they get to choose. But what that means is that there is very little regulation in terms of that price point. And so in Texas, because of the emergency, they allowed, there is technically a cap, but they allowed that cap to go up to $9 a kilowatt hour. So to put in perspective, Harold, the average price in Texas for electricity is 9 cents a kilowatt hour. So you're looking at literally 100 times for, you know, for bills for what they could procure. And so that's why you're seeing these bills for thousands and thousands of dollars. And so it's really critical. I think one of the points, you know, to Charmaine's point about, you know, this idea of racial justice, if you look at our communities, and so you take communities of color, we are disproportionately impacted by the cost of energy and energy burden. And so looking at the statistics, you know, in any given month, half of Black households feel energy insecure. And that is in a country where, generally speaking, we actually have some of the lowest energy costs in the world. So imagine that. And that comes from energy burden. And so when we're thinking about the idea of, you know, the more money you make, the lower your energy costs are as a percentage of income. But for people, you know, again, Charmaine talked about, you know, Black, Indigenous, people of color communities, those burdens can be up to 20, 25% of your income. So in any given month, you're looking at making decisions between, do I put heat on or do I feed my family? Mm-hmm. Do I, if you're a senior, do I take this medication or do I have to throw on more blankets because I can't afford the gas, you know, to heat my home in Philadelphia in the wintertime?
So so here's my question then, because, and I think this goes to many points when it comes to our community. Mm-hmm. Two things. On one hand, everyone's always trying to stretch a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
No problem with that. But are we not reading the fine print, or is there no fine print to read when, in the example of what we're seeing in Texas, the difference between 9 cents and $9 per kilowatt hour, mm-hmm, during a crisis? Why in a deregulated state, mm-hmm, would we be making those kinds of decisions instead of going with the, you know, the major carrier like a Dominion or a Pepco or a BGE?
In some cases, it may be due to cost. You know, there are some times where they can provide cheaper cost of electricity. In others, it may be that you are looking to vote with your dollars and support, you know, 100% renewable electricity or electricity that is sustainable. You know, there's actually options for renewable gas, right, and supporting that kind of level of sustainable of how they make it and how it's captured. And so there are reasons why it's important and critical to kind of think through your energy use from end to end. But there are downsides. And so, again, deregulation in and of itself is not necessarily a bad thing. And there are ways to protect yourself. And so if people don't walk away with anything else, one is every quarter, check your electricity bill. Most people, you know, 99% of people, myself included, just look at the total dollar amount. And so they aren't aware if they do have a third-party supplier or if somebody else has, you know, in the industry, what we call slam them, which means enroll them without their consent. And so take an actual look at your utility bill. Go online, register, download it, and look to see, you know, if you're expecting Dominion, make sure that you see Dominion only on that bill. And then quite frankly, one of the other things that people have access to is a ton of information. You know, up and down the Northeast and across the country, we have automated readers. And so you can look at, you know, your electricity use. Your utility can provide you your electricity use
by day and by hour. And many times they'll send you reports, you know, via email that will tell you, you know, I get a weekly report from Pepco that says, you used more electricity this week. Here's the time you used it.
Yeah.
So I can go back and say, you know what? Yeah, that's right. You know, my husband was really cold that night and I had to crank up the heat. Start paying attention to these types of things, these types of reports. And take control of that. And that's quite frankly the first thing that you can do. So when we talk about this idea of energy equity, you know, lowering our cost through energy efficiency is the easiest way to accomplish that. And my, like, not a plug for my company, but there are a lot of resources out there to help you do that in a free and efficient way.
I can't believe you threw your husband under the bus, but that's another show. We're going to talk about...
He's from Barbados. He's from the Caribbean, so
he's always cold. I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation about environmental equity and climate change. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM, Channel 141 and 96.3, HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues in just a few seconds.